Why, thank you very much. It's good to be awake today and to be alive. God is so good to us. I have to face these things just about every single day. You may not realize this, but there are many people that just don't have much motivation to take care of themselves. And you kind of think to yourself, do they just want to suffer forever? Well, what I want to do is I want to read this to you. There was a study that was done called the Zutphen study, named after a name of a city or a region in the Netherlands. Let me read this to you. The Zutphen study, that's Z-U-T-P-H-E-N, it was a study of the eating habits of inhabitants of one village in the Netherlands. Okay? In this study, the researchers found that even one serving of sea fish, that would be fish that comes from the ocean, each week, that's once a week, folks, did you get that? If you had fish once a week, it substantially reduced the incidence of coronary heart disease in the individuals who ate the fish. Two interesting points were made in the study. First, for those men who ate fish, it did not matter how old they were. You know what that means? That means if you're 60 years old and you're retired and you're sitting on a beach in Florida right now, go eat fish. So it didn't matter how old they were. It didn't matter what their blood pressure was or what their blood cholesterol was, or incredibly, how much they smoked cigarettes. Now that always gets me right there. It also made no difference how active they were. Oh my goodness. If you're listening to this right now, you got to be thinking, I'm going to the store today and I'm going to the frozen food section and I'm going to look for some fish from the ocean. Anyway, it said, secondly, the men who ate fish not only had a lowered risk of heart disease, but they consumed significantly more animal protein, cholesterol, and alcohol, and significantly less carbohydrate than men that didn't eat fish and who suffered higher mortality rates. Now, that gets my attention. You mean to tell me when men ate fish more from the ocean, they ate less refined carbohydrates and sugar? Oh boy, I'm liking this one. Maybe that's one of the secrets to having great health, is eating less sugar and more fish. It said the men who had a lower risk of heart disease ate the very foods we are continually told not to eat. You know what those are. It's foods that contain fat, right? The authors noted that one other very astounding relationship: those men who consumed the most calories had the lowest blood cholesterol levels, and those who consumed the least calories had the highest cholesterol levels. Isn't that interesting? Well, in this study, it showed that men that ate fish from the ocean, oh my goodness, they ended up eating less sugar. You know, there may be a principle that's kind of hidden or tucked away in that little study right here, the Zutphen study. Maybe one of the things that's really happening here is when you give your body exactly what it wants and what it needs, and you know what? It's going to be hard to argue against eating ocean fish because it's so nutrient dense. You got to remember all the minerals that the human body needs, they're found in the ocean. And if fish are swimming in the ocean, they're healthy fish, guess what you're going to have in the fish? You're going to have all the minerals. Do you remember that Adam was made from the dust of the earth? And when he died, he returned to the dust from whence he was made? Yeah, that's in the book of Genesis. So maybe here's the principle. When you eat food that has the nutrients that satisfies your body's requirements, you don't go looking for anything else. You don't look for adulterated imitation food. What do you, you know, have you ever heard the term, don't eat salmon, it contains empty calories? No. Salmon does not have empty calories. It has vitamins and minerals and nutrients, in addition to very healthy levels of protein and really amazingly good fats for the body. I know that's a bad word for some people, but it shouldn't be. You know, we've been told the propaganda that fat is bad, but that couldn't be the exact opposite is true. The study kind of bears that out. And so when you eat real food, maybe your cravings for the junk food or the imitation food or the highly refined sugary foods with empty calories, maybe that'll go by the wayside. And you'll start going, oh my goodness, maybe I've solved the mystery to weight loss and to feeling good and to being in excellent health. The study is actually amazing because they didn't ask men to exercise or to change their diet. They just wanted to find out those that ate fish, what happened to them. I think it's truly amazing. You know, the other point that I would get to on this is, okay, let's just say, for example, that you're in the hospital right now and you're listening to this radio program. And you know, the choice is yours. You can either eat what the hospital cafeteria provides for you, and I'm sure it's going to be like a hefty dose of flapjacks or, wait, are those pancakes with extra syrup? They'll probably put some low-calorie syrup on there. They only use half the amount of high-fructose corn syrup. They're not going to use real maple syrup. It costs too much. What are you going to do? Why don't you just have a salmon fillet? Maybe there's a family member that loves you and says, oh my goodness, I'm going to cook up a salmon fillet for my dad, and I'm going to put all sorts of, I'm going to season it where it tastes really, really good. What do you think is going to happen to the body when you actually give it the very thing it needs to repair your body if you're laying in a hospital bed? What if you can't even get up and walk? Well, why don't we try it and see? Why don't we see if giving you ocean or giving you fish from the ocean is going to result in you being able to get out of bed and walk? Wouldn't that be great? After all, empty calories. Do you know what a soft drink is? Have you ever heard that terminology before, that a soft drink contains empty calories? Do you know what that means? What it really means is the reason they say it's empty is because it doesn't have any vitamins or minerals in the soft drink. Guess what your body requires to break down and process sugar, especially high fructose corn syrup? Guess what it requires? Yeah. It's got to have vitamins and minerals to process the sugar that you're drinking down. Okay, well, what happens next? Well, since the soft drink doesn't provide any nutrients for you, guess where your body's going to get them from? Yeah, that's right. It's going to suck them out of your organs, and your organs are going to become weaker. Let me see a show of hands right now. Who wants to become weaker? I don't see any hands going up. Y'all didn't know I had a camera on you, did you? So, isn't this interesting? One of the things that you could do to produce better health is just eat fish from the ocean. Okay? Let me read this to you. This is a good one also. Okay, this comes from, where did I get this? Oh, from Weston Price. Okay, I always like everything from Weston Price. The guy just makes sense to me. And I tell you what, if you ever read the story of Weston A. Price as a dentist, he had a very heartbreaking experience with the loss of his son from an abscess tooth. But you got to understand, you know, like in the book of Romans chapter 5, what does it say? Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. So God can take something that's terrible, and he can take the suffering, and it can be turned for good. And so Dr. Price began his quest to figure this out. And so through his extreme pain and suffering and heartbreak, the loss of his son, he began to study this equation. Let me read this to you right here. Two recent studies have confirmed what Weston Price discovered over 60 years ago, that seafood makes a vital contribution to good health. A study conducted in Britain found that middle-aged men who had already suffered a heart attack, this is a special category, folks, you're a middle-aged man if you're in the study and you've already had a heart attack, they cut their death rate by one-third by adding oily fish like either salmon, tuna, mackerel, or sardines to their diet. In the study of 2,033 men under the age of 70, researchers told one group of men to eat fish high in omega-3 fatty acids or oils at least twice a week. Okay? That's what they were told to do. Eat salmon or sardines twice a week or something like that. The other group of men in the study, they were just told to cut down on high-fat foods, which you got to give them credit for doing that, because that's what we're told. We're bombarded that fat is bad. Well, I'm going to give you a different concept. What if there are some fats that actually are bad? Okay, I'll give you that, and that's true. But what if there's some fats that God has made that are actually very, very good for you? I mean, does anybody run to the emergency room from eating a fresh avocado? No. How about eating a fresh pecan? Is that a bad fat? No, absolutely not. So, here's the rest of it. The third group of men were asked, we just need you to eat more fiber. A fourth group of the men were given no dietary advice at all. After 2 years of looking at these four groups of men, remember, one group was asked to eat oily fish twice a week. One group was asked to cut back on fat. One group was asked to eat more fiber. And the fourth group, they didn't tell them anything. They said, you're on your own. Keep doing what you're doing. So these are middle-aged men that already had a heart attack. There's a little over 2,000 of them. Here's the result. After 2 years, the odds of dying of heart disease dropped by 29% among the men that ate fish compared to the other men in the study. I would say that's a pretty good deal. We're talking about twice a week. I don't know if you eat two meals a day, one meal a day, or three meals a day. I'd say probably by far and away the most popular is three meals a day. And so that's like 3 times 7 is 21. That's 21 meals. So is that really that challenging and difficult? Folks, do you know how easy it is to cook salmon or mackerel or halibut or cod or tuna? I have not mastered cooking tuna. I need to work on my skill set on that one. But the rest of them, they're so easy. If you don't have an air fryer, let's just say that you live in a very, very small space and you don't really have a stove. Well, if you had an air fryer, you could just use a turbocharged heating element with a fan motor on it, and you could bathe the salmon fillet in hot air, and you could have that sucker cooked pretty, pretty quick. Of course, you may want to use a little bit of oil on there. I know. Nobody likes butter. Well, no, that's not true. The people that are listening to Health Essentials right now, they probably like butter. Because they know that when you add butter, you increase the absorption of nutrients, which I'm telling you, you got to have nutrients if you want your body to be in good working order. Or if you're not in good working order, what is your plan to restore your body? What's your plan to rejuvenate? Well, if you can tolerate dairy products, butter is like the most excellent gift of all time to help restore your health. Here's another one right here in Japan. A series of study has shown that those who consumed seafood were much less likely to die of strokes. Could you imagine all the people that have had strokes just this last year alone? It's been astronomical. I don't have the chart in front of me, but the number of strokes is just so high. It's just unbelievable. I remember reading years ago, and this study was done only upon black women. Or what I should have said is only black women were in this particular study that I read. And they had them just eat salmon once a week. And I'm trying to think, maybe it was a 34 or 37% reduction in the occurrence of having a stroke. I mean, that's incredible. I wonder what would happen if they had it three times a week. You know what, when I went into the store the other day, I won't say the name Walmart, but when I went to the store, they had these frozen food sections. Now, the first one, well, you already know what's in there. It's just TV dinners, prepackaged foods. You know, you got your Hot Pockets. That stuff's just garbage. There's nothing in there. Yes, if I was starving to death, if I was in the Ukraine right now and I was in a trench wanting somebody to serve me a hot meal, I'd be thankful for it. I would not complain. I would say, how dare you not go down and catch me some fresh halibut or sardines right now? No, I wouldn't do that. I would practice gratitude. So you've got all these frozen foods, from pizzas to Hot Pockets to TV dinners. Oh my goodness. Anytime that there's a crisis in the world, those are the very first things that are cleaned out and cleared out. And I always think to myself, oh boy, what are we going to have here? Well, it's just going to lead to more stress and more anxiety. That's what happens when you eat food that has no nutritional value. It just lends itself to more depression, more anxiety, more irritability. It just doesn't play out. But the part of the store that I never worry about it running out of food is the frozen food section that contains vegetables and ocean fish. I have never seen that reduced. It's almost, now I've had a hard time finding cherries. That is not my fault. I have not been telling people to eat cherries to reduce acid crystals in their body. That wasn't me. I'm just looking at the clock right now. It's 7:15. If you want to call me on the radio and ask a question or make a comment, there is a phone line that is open. This program is Health Essentials. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Now, before somebody calls, let me tell you this. I don't go around soliciting my opinion about the COVID-19 vaccines. I mean, we've kind of talked about that, but unless somebody asks me, I don't just take off and start to hammer them with the information. But, you know, I've had a couple patients die. I've seen a lot of people that have been so harmed, it's just unbelievable. They'll never be able to work again because of the severe damage. Well, yesterday I had a nurse come by my office, and she wanted to ask my permission to put up flyers. I won't tell you the name of the vaccine, but it began, the manufacturer was a letter M. That's close enough. And she requested that she put up this flyer telling people where to go to get their vaccines. And I said, ma'am, I realize this may be a little bit different opinion than what you've heard, but have you heard these vaccines could be devastatingly harmful, even causing death and damage to others? And she said, no, I haven't heard that. I said, well, at the Centers of Disease Control, they have what's called the VAERS reporting system. What is that? Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting. Anyway, she said, no. I said, ma'am, you need to look at that right now. This is the highest that it has ever been before. And I have a feeling that it's vastly underreported, because what physician out there wants to say, oh, great, I lost another patient because I told them to get vaccinated, and now they're dead? But anyway, number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I think basically her jaw had kind of hung open, and she had not heard anybody saying anything to the contrary concerning the vaccine and establishing great radiant health. Anyway, all right, where's the other one I was looking for? Oh, yeah, this one right here. I thought this was good right here, because I don't think there's going to be a time. Well, we have a phone call. I'd like to go to the phone call first, please. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain. But I do have a little issue that I hope that you could help me with, and I want to say I do appreciate your program. I have learned a lot.
Well, you're so welcome. Thank you for your kind words.
Yeah. I came up with, ended up getting COVID back in January, and did fine through it. Just had a low-grade fever, and then I was out the other side doing well. But during that time, I came up with a dermatitis around my mouth. And to qualify that, I did have eczema or eczema when I was a baby. My mom told me that, and what I've tried to research, if you've had that or if you've had asthma, which I did when I was real little, grew out of it, that you're more likely to come up with something like this. But Anyway, it's there's the two kinds of dermatitis, the hemorrhagic and the acute or something. Can't remember them exactly.
Have you had the vaccine by chance?
And no, I have not. Okay. And anyway, so the doctor gave some salve to put on it, which hasn't done anything. And I've kept some coconut oil on it to just kind of keep it, you know, moist, otherwise it dries out and just is cracking and, you know, peeling.
Now, is this the only location where you've seen your skin change? Or has your skin become maybe a little bit rougher on your arms?
Yeah. No, just this around my lips, on my lips, around my mouth, right there on my lips, actually.
Well, and, do you mind if I share with you one of the things that I've seen a lot of?
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever heard of a gland called the thymus gland?
Yes.
Okay, the thymus gland has two lobes to it. It's just under the breastbone or the sternum right there by your manubrium.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just right there at the top of the chest, kind of covering the heart. But that is by far and away the largest gland of your immune system.
Right.
And so every white blood cell in the body, guess where it goes to train on how to do the job? Kind of like all these Ukrainian recruits that have never gone to war before, they have to go to training to learn how to fight against the Russians.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh,
and
yeah.
So every immune cell that you have in your body, one of the jobs of your immune cells is to generate what are called antibodies. Now, mm-hmm. I know what I'm going to say is going to sound crazy because I can't wrap my mind around it. But I read this morning that in one drop of your blood, that's going to hold 13 million times a million antibodies.
Oh, yeah.
And this is your active immune system. So here's the point I'm getting to. If you've had the COVID-19 or the coronavirus, most likely it's done one of two things. Either it's kind of settled into one particular gland or tissue in your body. But what you're going to notice is any time that there's a persistent dermatitis, or if you'll just give me free liberty and say where the skin has become either red or roughened or rashy or whelps, my mind always goes to the thymus gland.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had many, many people that have been through the coronavirus and have had this red, rashy dermatitis that won't go away.
Right.
And the solution, when I'm examining them, there is a weakness in the thymus gland. So if I find a weakness in the thymus gland, then I can start to do my job and I can say, okay, here's what the thymus gland needs. In order for it to repair itself, in order for it to produce antibodies to overcome this, you've got to give it what's called vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I just gave you like a real simple idea, you get vitamin A when you eat butter on carrots.
Mm-hmm.
Or the biggest source of all time is going to be probably liver and onions. Not many people take me up on that one. They usually run out of my door as soon as I hear. So that's going to be the greatest source of vitamin A all time. So if you had liver and onions once a week and you had your carrots cooked and buttered, you'd be going, all right, I'm giving my body what it needs. Now, the other thing is going to be zinc. Now, it's hard to find zinc in the vegetable kingdom. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's such pitifully low that most likely it doesn't even put a dent in what your needs are. So when you eat grass-fed beef, that's a great source of zinc. Or if you like to eat seafood, of which I was speaking of just a moment ago.
Oh, yes, no doubt.
Then you're providing your body that. Now, the other thing that the thymus needs, it needs vitamin C.
Okay, yep.
And so all those things are critical to making sure that your thymus gland can work. And so in a roundabout way, between your thymus and your liver, they work at making sure that your skin is extremely healthy and happy. Now, when you have dermatitis around the mouth, that's almost always a B vitamin deficiency, especially vitamin B3. But guess where you get a boatload of that? When you eat the calf liver or beef liver, you're getting like a huge amount. Or if you eat seafood, it's like incredible. Now, here's the point I'm really building toward. If I find that somebody has a weakened thymus gland, then one of my most favorite things of all time to do is just to give them thymus cytosol extract that comes from a calf. Now, I know this is going to offend some people. I don't mean to. But you know how in the Bible it says the cattle on a thousand hills belong to the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, sure.
And then in the book of Genesis, all the animals are supposed to be under our subjection or our authority. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. I don't have a problem with taking the thymus gland when they harvest a calf in the most humane way possible. But the thymus is absolutely one of the most incredible organs in the body. But you're going to find when the thymus is weak, that's when the skin starts to go rogue and doesn't behave properly.
Right.
So that would be one thing I would look at is if you started consuming thymus extract from a cow, you'd probably start to see this rash disappear and go away. Now, you've got a good plan by putting nutrient-dense coconut oil or unfiltered extra virgin olive oil or even raw butter. You could even take, you know, one of the simplest things is if you make yourself some guacamole or cut up an avocado, just take some of the avocado and just rub it directly into your skin.
Yeah.
You're trying to get ready for
coconut oil or butter on there because, you know, you just want to eat it up. So.
Wait, how long is your tongue? What are you saying?
It's just on the lips right there.
You know? There you go. But
it's
good coconut oil.
It tastes like it, you know, still smells like coconut.
Probably because it's real. It really still has those components that make it coconut oil. You could rub fresh coconut oil. But what you want is you want your body to resolve this.
Right.
Have the healing take place. Remove the burden. So I would look at those things right there and see if that doesn't make a huge difference. And the other thing it does is if there's any straggling viruses from the COVID that are hanging out in their body, you're helping your immune system rise to the occasion and do its job by hunting them down, tracking them down, and eating them for breakfast today.
There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Okay. I hope that helps a bunch. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Thank you, and have a great weekend, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you got nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. I asked the woman promoting the vaccines, I said, do you know anything about the active immune system at all? And she didn't have an answer at all. And I realized she's just saying what she's heard or she's been taught. But it's incredible. You were born with this incredible immune system that if you just let it do its job, if you feed it properly and you take good care of it, it's amazing what it can do to heal your body. I don't know how many people believe this, but I do. God has designed the body to heal itself if you give it half a chance. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Well, fine. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
A question when you mentioned milk, I suppose you mean whole milk versus skim milk. Is that true?
Absolutely. You know what the new milk is that they're coming out with? They're making artificial milk now.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Because they don't have to refrigerate it, and they want to go green. They want to save the... they don't want any greenhouse gases, so they want to make milk without it being milk. But they've assured us that it has all the vitamins, minerals, and nutrients.
Oh,
and it's just
wonderful.
As good for you.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you trust that?
Well, I have some real questions about that.
Yeah, I would too. Hey, have you ever tried raw milk before?
Yes, I used to could buy that when I lived in Dallas. I go to a dairy, and then I think the state of Texas may have passed some laws, and then they just one day said we can't sell any more raw milk.
Well, you can still buy it. We can still do it. But what is your interpretation of raw milk, or what is your opinion? Did you like it better than pasteurized milk?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Day and night.
You ain't kidding. It is something else. Hey, when you were a boy, did y'all have a cow?
Yes, we owned cattle. I grew up north of Dallas. We had a farm. Wow.
Did you ever have like a Jersey or a Guernsey that y'all would milk?
Yes, we did.
Let me look at your hands. I want to see how big they are. Were you good at milking?
Well, not too good.
Neither was I. I was way too small. But, boy, I can see in my mind right now, sitting out in the barn, and there was hay everywhere, but I could hear my mom make the sound of that stream of milk coming from the udder into that galvanized pail. It's just hilarious. But anyway, what's your other questions?
One more question. On coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that? A teaspoon a day?
Oh, you could even do more than that if you wanted to. And I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, but back in the 1940s, they tried adding, and I want to say it was either 10 or 15% coconut oil to the cattle feed. But what happened was it backfired. They thought that adding fat to the cow food was going to make the cows gain weight faster where they could make a bigger profit, but it was the exact opposite. The cows didn't want to eat as much, so they didn't gain as much weight, and they seemed to be a lot more satisfied. So you kind of see the angle I'm taking on this. When you consume coconut oil, typically the body's more satisfied. It's more nutrient dense. So I like the idea. You could have more than a teaspoon easily.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, the countries that use by far and away the most coconut in their diet, whether it's eating the meat of the coconut and drinking the coconut water, using the coconut milk, obviously the coconut oil or the fat that you're referring to, they absolutely have the lowest level of heart disease anywhere on the planet, which one of the points I'll get to is you've got to have some good saturated fat if you want your body to be healthy. Have you ever heard that before?
I think I've heard that somewhere.
Well, I read the other day, and it was saying that people have, that have low amounts of healthy saturated fat, these are the ones that are the most vulnerable of all time to the COVID, to getting the viral infection. And I thought to myself, looky there. Everybody's told people don't eat coconut oil because it's toxic, but what you should be doing is eating the... I know they have an agenda, but I don't want you to be sick. I want you to be radiant and healthy. I want you to save your money and have a good life. No, I was going to say, what could you do with your life if you didn't have to deal with horrible, debilitating illness, if you could use your life in the most productive manner, blessing and helping? And like you, you're probably getting ready to teach your Sunday school tomorrow, aren't you?
Close to it.
Good. What were you going to ask me?
The situation, let's see, it was going to be on butter. You know, the studies came out years ago, even from Harvard, about how bad butter was, and everybody ran away from it like it was a poison.
Exactly.
And that's really, that did a lot of damage.
You know, do you remember that Bible passage where it says the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica? Because what they did was they actually referred to the Old Testament, and they compared what the Old Testament said versus what Paul and Silas were preaching. And they're praised for that. And that's the one place in the book of Acts where I've seen that. And so I think it's okay to question everything. Like, if you say that butter's good and Harvard says butter's bad, well, both of you can't be right. And that's where you say, let me do my own research. But see, we know now what a huge mistake it is not to consume butter.
And how much would you say?
Well, they did a study recently where they took people, older people in a nursing home facility that weren't real active, and they just put a pat of butter on their green beans and on their carrots or on their cabbage once a day. And their nutritional status improved by 15% as verified through blood testing or blood labs after 1 month. Now, me personally, I don't care if you take a quarter of a stick of butter today and you smear it all over your sweet potato and your broccoli or your fresh salmon fillet or halibut, be just fine. You'll extract more nutrients from your food, because the type of fat that's in butter, it's really rich in vitamin A, which means it's so good for the immune system in the body. So I really think that you can use butter very liberally without any fear of a side effect. You can't say that about margarine.
No, you sure can't.
Yeah, I like the way that every time man thinks he's so smart, I'm going to take cottonseed oil, I'm going to hydrogenate it, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it look like butter and taste like butter. But the problem is it contains a type of altered fat called a trans fat. It just clogs your cells up. Butter does not do that. The only reason that you can stand up right now and walk and move is because you have cholesterol and saturated fat in your cell membranes. And these are extremely important components to keep you healthy and radiant and strong. I mean, I can tell you by looking at so many, I've looked at probably tens of thousands of laboratory tests. The lower the cholesterol level, the worse the brain function in the human being every single time. And that's always kind of a scary marker for me. If I see total cholesterol go below 160, I'm usually terrified for the person. And so what I want is I'm going, okay, your brain is starving for cholesterol. Give your body what it needs so it can heal itself. But I don't have any fear of you liberally using butter.
All right. What would be the source on cholesterol? What's the best source?
Well,
we talked about that before.
Yeah, and would you believe me if I told you it's impossible to make or to eat all the cholesterol that you need? Or I could say it a different way. Your liver has an enzyme called the HMG coreductase enzyme, and what it does is it synthesizes cholesterol for you because it's valuable. But your liver can't make all the cholesterol you need. You've got to supplement it with diet. And so I'm really not trying to make a joke by saying this, so be careful how you respond to me. But
okay.
Mother's breast milk, it has one of the highest sources of cholesterol, but we should learn a lesson from that. What does a newborn baby need so the brain grows and develops so they can reach their full potential? They got to have rich cholesterol to cause the brain to grow. And so mother's breast milk has a lot, but when you eat any type of animal product, whether that be butter or cheese or eggs or fish or chicken or turkey or beef, those are all rich sources of cholesterol. Or if you had liver once a week, that would be an excellent choice.
All right. That's very, very helpful.
Good. Now you know what you're going to do, don't you?
I do, and your knowledge is amazing and very much appreciated.
Well, you're very kind. At least now you've got a plan to go after this, right?
I certainly do.
Thank you very much for your phone call, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let me read this to you right here. It comes from E.M. Cranton, M.D., and J.P. Frackleton, M.D., the Journal of Holistic Medicine. And these two medical doctors write, and you just gotta just listen to this. I'll try to read it slowly, but just listen to every word. Cholesterol is an antioxidant and a free radical scavenger, which protects cell membranes. It is liberally dispersed in cell walls, protecting vital phospholipids and from free radical damage. Cholesterol also acts as a precursor to many steroid hormones and vitamin D. Vitamin D is normally produced in the skin by exposure of cholesterol to ultraviolet radiation from the sunlight. Ultraviolet light is a form of ionizing radiation which produces free radicals in living tissues. Total cholesterol, which is, you know, reflected by blood cholesterol in a lab test, it's determined primarily by cholesterol synthesis in response to ongoing oxidative stress from free radicals, not from dietary cholesterol intake. I don't know if you understand that, but this continual stress that we're under living on the earth, we're producing cholesterol to protect us from the damage. So serum cholesterol levels are indicators of free radical damage, and therefore they correlate with the risk of atherosclerosis. Now that's true. Cholesterol is synthesized in the body as needed, and with epidemic free radical disease, blood cholesterol levels increase with age. Dietary restriction of cholesterol and medications to reduce blood cholesterol have been counterproductive in the treatment of atherosclerosis because the antioxidant role of cholesterol has not been recognized. Unoxidized cholesterol is widely dispersed in the cell membranes as a protective factor against atherosclerosis, cancer, and other free radical-induced diseases. So here's what I want to propose to you. If your cholesterol levels are elevated, when I say elevated, I mean that's you can interpret that a number of ways, but if they're a lot higher than what your doctor likes, it may be because there's a reason behind that. And it may be that what the cholesterol is doing is it's trying to protect you and trying to correct damage to your body. You ever think of that? Okay.
Incoherent. I was so worried about I prayed all night. Please protect
me. Oh, my goodness. Well, let me do what I can. Number one, before I came on the air this morning, I was reading an article about people that have very severe arthritis of the hands. Now, what are the chances of that happening and then you calling me? Tell me, what are the chances?
I don't know.
Well, let me just tell you, I want you to consider two or three things. Number one, When a person gets arthritis of the hands, I always think that there's something that they're eating that's adversely affecting and generating inflammation that's going to the hands. And so in my interpretation is I'm always looking for what are they doing or what are they eating that's causing inflammation. So here's the simple ones right here. If she tried a simple experiment of just eating meat and vegetables and a little bit of fruit, mm-hmm. I think that she would see a radical change. But the article that I read specifically was testing a substance called ginger. And what they did was they gave ginger capsules. And I can tell you what the dose is because I'm looking at the study right here. It said the recommended dose was either 500 or 1,000 milligrams per day. And mm-hmm. But in the, here's the part that I thought was kind of comical. Even though in the study for severe arthritis of the hands, it said the researchers recommend the dosage was 500 to 1,000 milligrams per day, but many patients took 3 to 4 times that amount. Goodness. And it says patients taking the higher dosages reported quicker and better relief. Now, you tell me, why would a person take 3 and 4 times the recommended amount? Because it was working a heck of a lot better than the dose they recommended. But they saw nearly 100%, I'm not going to say a cure, because mm-hmm. that's kind of like an interesting word to use, but they saw relief when they took the ginger. So I want you to know that ginger is excellent, most excellent, when it comes to trying to relieve pain of the hands.
Well, you want to hear something funny? I told her, I said, Bob, get you some ginger. She said, well, yes, doctor.
Well, you may not have an MD degree behind your name, but you're the type of doctor that does whatever it takes to help your sister get well.
Absolutely, and I just wanted to know if I was right in telling her that. Now, I didn't know how much.
If you'll get the Dr. Roy Morgan ginger capsules, those are for $187,000 off Amazon, but I'm gonna sign it. Is that okay?
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, my signature on that makes them work a little bit better. No, you could go to the grocery store and you could walk along the produce, aisle up against the wall where it's refrigerated. And the mm-hmm. ginger there, I mean, I know you know what you're looking for, but it's this beautiful bronze color.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, to me, I know what healthy ginger looks like. It looks gorgeous. Any one of those ginger roots on the produce section, you could take them and you could put them in the dirt, and I promise you they will grow a beautiful ginger flower.
Probably.
I promise you they will. They're potent. And actually, can I kind of get off on a side topic just for a second?
Sure.
I have all these people that come to see me saying, Dr. Morgan, we can't get well from the coronavirus. We had it. We had our vaccines. We're not well. What do we do? Well, one of the things that I love to recommend is ginger, fresh ginger. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of a juicer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you think happens when you drop a chunk of ginger root down into a juicer?
Tricky, potent stuff.
You're right. It's very, very potent. But to me, it's a... I'm going to read this to you right here. There is a very famous Greek doctor. His name was Dioscorides. I'm probably butchering his name. But you know what he recommended? He said that ginger was one of the greatest antidotes to poison that he'd ever come across. Now, I realize I'm not trying to make that the gospel if you've been poisoned focused on ginger. But I know this, when somebody's had an infection, you want to help assist the immune system in the body getting rid of the poison from the infection. And ginger is one of the best remedies of all time. I mean, to me, it is a great substance.
Always want ginger.
And you tell your sister the doctor is right and she better follow your orders. Or she's in big trouble.
Good luck on my part.
You know what we should do? We should handcuff her to a chair until she drinks her ginger juice.
Right. That might work.
And actually, I find myself with some regularity telling people, okay, here's what you want to do. You want to take one apple, run it through the juicer, one lemon. All you do with the lemon is you take like a curved hawksbill paring knife and mm-hmm. just cut the outer part of the yellow rind off. Leave as much of that white pith, because that's where so many nutrients are. So one apple, one lemon, maybe 4 or 5 ribs of celery. That stuff is awesome for the body, and then a little chunk of ginger root. And if you tell me I can't take it, it's not sweet enough, well, run a little bit of pineapple through there, or something, or another apple, whatever you want to do. But if you could drink that, this is where the healing starts to begin. And one advantage of the juice is it probably has more of a solvent-like action, which means it's dissolving and washing away debris. The stuff is just awesome.
That's very good. That's good for me. I'll take that.
You betcha. I can hear that bird in the background agreeing with me.
Yes, bird is.
That bird was a wren, by the way. I know what a wren sounds like.
It may be. I'm out in the barn with my horses, so.
You're out? Yeah, that's a wren right there. I promise you.
You promise me. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, and you have a blessed day.
You too. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line. It is officially open, ready for your phone call, 903-586-5257. 903-586-5257. So just kind of going back briefly, any opportunity that you have to include ginger in what you're eating is just like spectacular. There are some people out there that actually like to eat sushi. There are some people that will not eat sushi that has raw crab or fish in it. And I think I'm probably one of those people that don't like to do that. I know people have been doing it for thousands of years probably. I just don't want to eat raw fish. I mean, I will if I'm on a raft in the ocean. I got to have something to eat. I'm going to dive down and eat a fish raw. Actually, there might be sharks after I do that because I'm probably pretty sloppy when I eat raw fish. But anyway, what I was suggesting is if you were to eat sushi, you could say, I would like some extra sliced pickled ginger, please. Oh my goodness. You talk about one of the greatest anti-inflammatories. I think I'm going to read this to you right here because I find this so, so intriguing. Now, you may not have heard of this condition, but it's called menorrhagia. Okay? If you're a woman that has heavy, heavy menstrual bleeding, then you know what this is. And so I want to read this to you. Okay? And actually, this is about ginger. In the article, it says that menorrhagia, that's excessive bleeding when a woman has her menstrual cycle, may be prevented by taking ginger. And this is the part that I kind of dig and like, because I kind of like reading how things work. One biochemical abnormality commonly found in the lining of the uterus in women with heavy, heavy menstrual bleeding is an alteration in arachidonic acid metabolism. Now, I don't expect that to mean anything to you, but when you have an alteration in arachidonic acid metabolism, that means things are not going to work right in your body. It says this fatty acid is derived from meat and dairy sources and is converted to hormone-like compounds known as prostaglandins. The uterine lining of women who have... Sorry, I almost choked right there. I think I haven't had enough water today. It says the uterine lining of women who have menorrhagia concentrates arachidonic acid to a much greater extent than normal. Well, I'm thinking to myself, that is good to know. The increased arachidonic acid release during menstruation results in increased production of a hormone-like compound called prostaglandin E2, which leads to not only excessive bleeding, but also menstrual cramps. Now, if we just kind of stop right there in this article, do you know any young girls? Do you know any women in their 20s? How about in their 30s or 40s? And they suffer from excessive bleeding and horrible, horrible menstrual cramps. Well, you are just like I am. You always want to help those that are suffering, don't you? That's just my nature. Okay? So this is the mechanism right here. So back to ginger. Since ginger has been shown to block prostaglandin series 2, E2, researchers wanted to assess the effects of ginger on heavy menstrual bleeding in 92 young women that are 15 to 18 years of age. And here's the study right here. The women either took 250 milligrams of dried ginger capsule or a placebo three times a day for four consecutive days starting the day before menstrual bleeding commenced. Okay, three capsules of ginger at 250 milligrams? I'm guessing those were kind of small capsules. That's not very big. It says they were followed for three additional consecutive menstrual cycles. During the three intervention cycles, they just took them for 4 days now. I'm talking about four out of every 28 days. During the three intervention cycles, the level of menstrual blood loss of those taking the ginger dramatically declined by 46%, while the placebo group dropped only by 2%. If the placebo only dropped excessive blood loss by 2%, you know what that means? That didn't work. I don't know about you, but that number is super impressive. You know what? When I read that, of course, here's the punchline. Researchers concluded that ginger may be considered as an effective therapy option for heavy menstrual bleeding. Duh. Do you really need them to say that? Anyway, what if you were a woman that had horrible, horrible menstrual bleeding and heavy, heavy cramps and you were just in misery all the time? Well, I'd say, number one, why don't you run toward ginger and just, instead of taking it the day before you start for just 4 days, why don't you take a little bit longer than that? You know, sometimes there's a phrase, you got to head off at the pass, or like Barney Fife said, nip it in the bud. No, I'm just joking about that. Head off at the pass means you take steps before the problem occurs to see if you can help the body heal itself. I don't know. Is this kind of a crazy idea that if you had a daughter with heavy, heavy menstrual cramps and lots of bleeding and blood loss, what if she started taking ginger way before she started cycling? That'd be great. Anyway, there is plenty of time for another phone call if you want to call me on the radio. There's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Whoops, I must have hung up on him. Let me try again. Okay, did I get you now?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Hi.
Yay, thanks. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. My good friend and co-worker's daughter had COVID. She's in a rehab, but she's on dialysis. What can she do to help her kidneys come back?
Well, we got to give her some ginger, because ginger is the greatest drainage remedy of all time. So I know I'm simplifying and cutting to the chase, but we got to make her fresh juice. It can't be artificial juice or pasteurized juice. So what you do is you take one apple, run it through the juicer, then one lemon that's been peeled, run it through the juicer, four ribs of celery, and then a little chunk of ginger root, whether that's like an inch worth, whatever it takes. Give that to her fresh. You've got to avoid every drop of sugar. That you can't give them sugar unless it's from the apple or the lemon.
Okay.
Now, what I do is, and I have seen quite a few women that have been super, super sick from the COVID-19.
Right.
And when I examine them, guess what I find? It's all the kidneys, baby. Now, This is not my opinion, but what they do is, in order to grow the vaccine, they have to procure human kidney cells to grow it on. So the way these vaccines are made is they have to get living human cells to be the factory to grow it. And so I don't think it's a coincidence I'm finding all these people with severe kidney problems following COVID or the vaccine. And so what I use is I use what are called kidney proteomorphogens. They're easy to come by. These are proteins from the nuclear material of a calf kidney. I know that may sound gross to you that I'm using calf kidneys. But if you can take a kidney proteomorphogen, it's kind of telling your kidneys, hey, we need you to get with the program and heal, as in right now. So one of the products that I use over and over in this situation is a product called Albaplex, Albaplex. Now, this is what I found that works.
Okay.
I don't give one capsule a day. I don't give six capsules a day. What I do is I'll give, depending on the severity and what a person can tolerate, I'll give, I usually aim for about two capsules every waking hour of the day. You know, you don't have to convince me. I mean, this is really dire right here. I'm really concerned just by the little that you told me. I mean, okay. she's not at home walking around the block or jumping on the trampoline right now, is she?
No, because she can't walk yet.
How old is she?
She's 42, because, you know, she's on the dialysis, but
yeah.
She's 42, and she's going to be going home soon, but she's not walking yet because she was on a ventilator for 9 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. This is incredible. So if we could give her Albaplex and give her this fresh juice, that would start to move the needle. The other product that I use a bunch of, and I have seen it work over and over and over again, is one called Congiplex by Standard Process.
Congiplex, okay.
And you give a lot of it. This is, everybody has their own opinion about this, but in the real world, I kind of get to test this on every person that walks in my door. So I use a lot of it. Not a little bit of it, a lot of it. It's kind of funny. The reason why I say that, I've had people call me on the phone and say, well, it says on the label to take one a day, and I'm going, that ain't going to work. We got to take enough to nutritionally get over the hump here. So,
okay.
If she fasted on the lemon juice for 3 days and we took the kidney protomorphogens, I want the kidneys to come back to life. She's got to have them. She's 42. She's a kid. We've got to run toward healing, whatever it takes. If you have to do a jailbreak today and kidnap her and haul her off to a mountain cabin so she can have fresh food and air, we got to do it.
That's it.
Now, you are a member of a SWAT team that breaks people out of rehab hospitals, aren't you?
I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to answer that.
Oh, okay. I'm going to pretend I didn't ask that question. Anyway, so these are the things you need to run toward doing, and absolutely, if she were mine, no sugar whatsoever, unless it's in the form of fruit. If she wants a bowl of frozen pitted cherries that come fresh from Turkey and have been flash frozen, give them to her. An apple a day would be perfect for her. If you're trying to recalibrate the fluid levels of the body and the water in the cells, an apple is really hard to beat. And the phrase I heard on the radio the other day, it says an apple a day keeps the rehab hospital doctor away. So let's do that.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dr.
You're
Morris.
Welcome. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye. Actually, when you have a weak kidney, and hers are really weak right now, rose hips tea might be a really good choice. And dandelion root tea might be another good choice. You want a little bit more change up? How about hibiscus tea? These are all beautiful. Now, I don't know that the dandelion tastes great by most people's standards, but if you can get it down, it can start to do a number on trying to help you. I have really enjoyed being with you today. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Lord willing, I will be back this time next Saturday morning.